If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
You're on Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Remember, you can send me a text at 2057. Send us your questions. Email me at inbox@realitycheck.radio. And we've got a dear and special guest who's a regular, Phyllis Tichenin from the Weston A. Price. Is it Foundation or Society? Weston A. It's Price.
Foundation.
Foundation. Founded by the wonderful Sally Fallon. And Phyllis Tichenin is a devotee and a scientist and expert on this. And remember, in an early discussion, we discussed Weston A. Price's work in the 1930s with his wonderful wife and how they traveled to isolated communities to discover astonishingly good health. And particularly good bones and good teeth, didn't get the diseases that plague modern man. And Weston A. Price was able to link it literally with controlled experiments, natural experiments, with villagers that had been exposed to what he called the corrupting foods of modern commerce, namely sugar and white flour and other processed food. Good morning, Phyllis.
Good morning, Rodney. Pleasure to be here.
Well, it's so lovely to be here with you. I love going on the radio with our listeners, and I love sharing. I call it the airwaves, but it's really a whole lot of ones and zeros going down a copper wire and internet out into space. I don't know quite how it works, but it's wonderful to be linking up. And you want to be discussing vitamin A.
I am, because vitamin A, the fat, what Weston A. Price called the fat-soluble activators, not all of which had been identified yet, but named, but that he could tell there were substances in these foods that had important and identifiable impacts on particular aspects of people's health or teeth. Or, you know, physical development. So vitamin A is along with vitamin D, vitamin E, and vitamin K2 are the major fat-soluble activators, and they occur naturally in their complex, effective forms only from animal foods. So okay, particularly high in organ meat, where most of these are stored for use throughout the body, but they're also found, I just want to put this in, I'm not expecting everyone to go out and start eating insects or crickets, especially as they're being, you know, portrayed in the last couple of years as a protein source. Turns out that insects have fairly high levels of some of those fat-soluble activators.
Vitamin
as well.
A, vitamin D,
vitamin E, and vitamin K2.
Now, can you explain, before we get too deep in, what is a vitamin?
A vitamin is an essential substance. Many of them, well, if you can make a sort of a very general distinction, you have water-based or water-soluble vitamins, and those are what we usually call the B-complex vitamins, B1, yes. Through B12. The other major grouping are the fat-soluble vitamins, and those are the ones we were just talking about, A, D, E, K1, and K2.
And these are substances vital to our physiology and growth, which we ourselves don't produce.
Mostly. Okay. Mostly. It depends.
Okay.
What everybody hates to hear, the phrase, it depends. We can make limited conversion of beta carotene to the precursor to vitamin A, which is retinol, with a Y. I'm going to be throwing out a whole bunch of different forms of names for vitamin A, but the kind that is natural, that we can best utilize, that we need, is only from animal sources, and it is the retinyl, N-Y-L, as opposed to retinol, O-L, which is the synthetic manufactured simplified form of vitamin A, which is what comes in almost all foods that are labeled as having vitamin A in them or in pretty much all of the supplements. So that's something you want to look out for. When people say, yeah, okay, so, you know, I don't like the taste of liver, so I'm going to get my, but I accept that vitamin A is important. I'm going to get it in a supplement. That's not a very good idea because our bodies are programmed to need and respond best to things in their natural form. And I'm not against taking supplements, and some of us are so ill that it's rather important that we do for a time. But the science is beginning to show that it's the food-based or, you know, animal-created forms of nutrition that are much preferable to us.
My mother kept my Plunkett book and I was horrified to learn that in 1956 and 57, the Plunkett news was that I was doing a good job getting my liver down, like eating liver. I imagine people, mothers would be horrified if they might have been older, might have been 2 years old. I was born in horrified if they were told by their nurse to take liver. Right.
And we need, hopefully by the end of this talk or several down the track, people will have a better understanding of how not just crucial, but critical these fat-soluble activators, and particularly vitamin A, are for babies from preconception. I can't emphasize that too much. If we want to recover human health, it starts before conception. Parents need to be accumulating stores of these fat-soluble vitamins, A, and with particular emphasis, because these are a form of hormones. They're crucial signaling molecules. They're the catalysts that have to be there in our bodies from our food in order for a whole range of super important biological processes to get started and get through to completion to make healthy babies in particular, but on an ongoing basis, healthy people. And these,
keep
once
going,
again,
Phyllis.
They're animal based. We
keep
simply
going, Phyllis. I won't
cannot
interrupt
get them
because this is a lot of stuff. You keep going. I won't interrupt.
No, go right ahead, Rodney. Because you know, after a while, people go, "Man, when is this lady going to stop?" You know, it's important to have little breaks and for you to clarify. So please, you know, give me the hand signal or just jump in. Okay. So for those of you who haven't heard our previous two interviews, just want to briefly reiterate and introduce the Weston A. Price Foundation. Rodney has highlighted that Weston A. Price was a dentist, and in the 30s and 40s, he and his wife traveled around the planet to 14 different remote communities who were eating their traditional diets and experiencing, as you said early on, Rodney, I love this one, rude good health. I mean, it's just like bowl you over, kind of radiating good health and peace and, you know, curiosity and intelligence. which is consistently what he found when these isolated tribes of people around the planet were not consuming modern foods. They were using the foods in their immediate environment. And he did something no one else had done before, which was to take dental records, physical examinations, and food analysis from these communities, and found when he analyzed them that across the board, similar things were happening. When you averaged it all out, these primitive, in quotes, people were getting four times more minerals and 10 times more of those fat-soluble A, D, E, and K2 vitamins than Western Price's upper-middle-class dental clients at the time. Okay. So what he found, in contrast to his to people in the United States at the time, which were in better health than we're in now by far, is that these people who had no access to, you know, modern medicine, had no cavities practically, no crooked teeth, no eye defects, no eyeglasses, no obesity. They had strong bodies. They had wide, handsome faces, no birthing problems, no cancer, and they were calm, curious, kind people. And they were eating no modern processed food, which at the time would have been white flour, canned fruit, those sorts of preserved but devoid of nutrition foods that we have tended to foist on primitive populations when we came in contact with them, okay? So all of these people had this amazing good health, and they had no need for medicines, if you will, beyond what traditional medicines or remedies they could get from their immediate environment. And this rude good health and the ability to reproduce optimally and to be calm and peaceful, ultimately, be part of truly an integral part of our environment without really messing our nest up, is all based on excellent nutrition. Okay? This is what Price is known for. I encourage you to go to get more information on the excellent website, which is Weston A. Price, all one word. And Weston is spelled W-E-S-T-O-N. So westonaprice.org. You can go down hundreds of amazing rabbit holes.
And just to interrupt when I said I wouldn't, the contrast was stark to nearby villages or communities or members of the group that left the village who were exposed to flour, sugar, preserved food. It was night and day, the two populations, and including for Maori, night and day.
Yeah.
That was the killer.
Yeah, the important thing, and that's the sort of research we can no longer do because we've polluted the gene pool, if you will. We've confounded the data. There's no longer a contrast. We're all not particularly well because we have not been consuming adequate sources of these fat-soluble activators and high mineral basic foods. So what this proves is that these changes are not genetic. We have exactly the same gene pool of people from a remote tribe in the Andes that he investigated thoroughly. And then he had the foresight and stamina to go down to, say, Cusco or Lima and search out the relatives in the next generation of those same people he'd just been examining who were doing their traditional diet. And he would see within the same generation, even certainly in the next generation, big differences in tooth health, in limb development, in stature, in general brightness. So it was a crucial experiment, if you will, or comparative study in the impact of nutrition. And people will say, oh, yeah, our teeth are crooked. That's just in our genes. No, sorry. It doesn't work that way. The good news is we can recover this within a generation or two if there's adequate intake of the animal-based vitamins A, D, E, and K2. So for us in New Zealand, getting this level of the necessary 10 times more fat-soluble vitamins and the necessary 4 times more minerals at least than we're currently consuming means eating very little processed food. Anything that comes out of a package is going to be bereft of enzymes. It's going to have all sorts of additives and additional chemicals in there that you really don't want. It also means no ultra-processed foods. And an example of an ultra-processed food is, for example, you know, those dessert yogurts or the granola bars that we're giving our children for their lunches. Those are ultra-processed foods. They are pretty much bereft of actual valuable nutrition. Don't go there. Any foods that are, you know, most all of these ultra-processed foods are sugar and chemical-laden manufactured foods. So you want to be going back to basics. You want to be learning how to cook and really putting, you know, your money where your mouth is, so to speak, literally. Yes, it may well cost more, but things like cancer are very costly and inconvenient. So,
and stupidity. It is
all based on nutrition. So, what's it going to take for us to kind of get back on top of this nutrition and health thing? I would say consuming at least a quarter of a cup of butter a day, at least. For recovery, half a cup. 2 to 5 eggs a day, or at least focusing on getting in barely cooked egg yolks, very good source of vitamin A. Seafood where possible. Quality cod liver oil, and that's not the stuff you get at the pharmacy or the supermarket. You'd need to get it online. What I take is either the Rosita cod liver oil or the Green Pastures cod liver oil, both of which their sources online for those from New Zealand. Organ meat at least once a week. So what does this actually kind of translate to in terms of what lands on the table? Tasty foods like steak and kidney pie, pate, terrines, bacon and eggs, and cooking in drippings or beef tallow and pork lard, just like great grandma used to. It also means no seed oils and olive oil being used like on salad dressings or for making mayonnaise, things that aren't cooked. It is not a good idea to cook with olive oil. It's pretty heat sensitive. Stick with the natural animal fats that actually give you additional vitamins and minerals, particularly the vitamins that are simply not there in olive oil as an oleic acid, but are there in the saturated fatty acids that we get from things like beef tallow and pork.
Diet's a funny thing, isn't it? Because we become habituated to what we eat. And this is what we eat each day. And it's an addiction to what we eat each day. And I find whenever I change my diet, it's a huge effort. Unbelievable. I'm not saying even restricting my diet, just changing what I have for breakfast, changing what I have for lunch, changing what I have for tea. That requires a significant mindset change to pull off.
Yeah.
Having pulled it off, though, it's you struggle to go back.
Yes, and something I just shared that I found out or was reinforced for me yesterday, you know, when I travel or when I go on farm workshops or presentations, I mean, I'm not going to find pâté, there, and I'm not going to find organic wholemeal fermented sourdough bread. I just grin and bear it and make sure there's heaps of butter on whatever I eat. But I do find, and I suspect other people will too, it's very quickly that I feel myself saying, oh, just a little more would be okay. I mean, I've already had some. And it's like, wow, okay, so that was fast acting. As you said, there are addictive processes going on here. We just need to be aware of them, get back on the wagon, and eat more butter.
That's another funny thing, because when my wife and I started on the Western A Price nutrition, she really struggled eating eggs and bacon and putting butter that thick on a piece of bread that you leave a tooth mark, which is, you know, the minimum that you should have on your bread. She thought like she's going to have a heart attack halfway through breakfast, because we've been so indoctrinated, and she felt so sinful. And once you get into it, you can't imagine having a meal not like it. And I can remember sitting down with people and you say, oh, what would you like for breakfast? Oh, look, I'd really love bacon and eggs, but my doctor said I'm not to. And they sit there and they eat Kellogg's, cornflakes, Weet-Bix, big cup of orange juice. And it's horrific compared to bacon and eggs cooked in lard, piece of toast thick with butter, set you up till lunchtime, right? And absolutely, it's just how we've been programmed.
Yes. And that's why it's important for us to talk about why this happened or how it happened, why it continues to happen. And we covered that a little bit last time with the deception, if you will, that continue to be perpetrated with medical research and nutritional research being, to put it diplomatically, heavily influenced by funding from the likes of the vegetable seed oil and the sugar industries to create false justification for moving into those highly inflammatory vegetable seed oils like corn and soy and canola. Mm. So those are the first things to drop out. Stop eating those vegetable oils, precisely the ones that our doctors are telling us to use because they're, quote, heart healthy, end quote. They are not. We need fat-soluble vitamins in saturated animal fats and foods, including red meat, for heart health. This has been shown over and over and over again, and there are an alarming number of studies that are coming out now that demonstrated that the books were cooked. Clearly, people were paid off. And as you said, we get in the habit of thinking one way. We get this mindset all going in one direction and everybody's nodding and everybody's okay with this. We feel more comfortable. But while this is all happening, our health is crashing. So we need to do something about it.
What do you say to a vegetarian and the need for vitamin A?
Well, what I would say to a vegetarian is first to ask them why they are making this choice to eat this. For some people, it's a moral or spiritual choice, not wanting to have something else die that we can eat. And I would point out at that stage that dying is part of the life contract. Nobody gets born to live forever. We're all going to die. We all die. And purpose of our dying is to feed someone else in the circle of life, even if that's, in our case, usually microbes, soil microbes. We get digested so that other organisms in the environment can eat. Everything does. Otherwise, we'd be you know, miles high in decomposed grass and insects and bodies of all sorts. Digestion has to happen. And we can be excellent stewards of the land and not a drag, big drag, on environmental quality, and still humanely, kindly, caringly raise animals for us to eat, to give them a good life while they're alive, and then to honor their sacrifice when they die and in turn feed us. Mm. So there are whole series of environmental reasons why animals don't have to be bad for the environment or bad for the climate, but that's a whole nother talk. But ultimately, I think many people do it because they feel it's more healthy for them. We shouldn't be eating red meat because it causes cancer. And people will cite the China study, for example, as being a big reason why red meat causes cancer. Once again, it's important to go beyond the abstract of the research and to look at the methods that were actually used, the data, and to see whether they actually match the conclusions. Because what many people do not realize is the basis for that China study assertion that red meat causes cancer was on the basis of feeding rats only on extreme amounts of dried powdered milk. Okay, so first off, it wasn't red meat. And secondly, you know, name me any rats in the wild, in natural settings, that only eat powdered milk. Last time I saw anything about that, rats were not operating Fonterra plants. Okay? No. This is a completely contrived result. So you have to ask not only who's doing the funding, but what the basic belief of the people who were overseeing as academics those fundings. And it's my understanding that the fellow whose name I can't remember anymore, who did the China study out of a U.S. university, was a vegetarian.
He was? Yes. Campbell, wasn't it?
Campbell, thank you. Well done, Rodney. So, you know, you just have to be skeptical, be discerning, and understand that there is a narrative that has been created that is anti-fat, anti grass-based animals, almost anti-agriculture, that has skewed not only our perception, but our health. And once again, follow the money. Which industries, which groups of people in society benefit when we're all healthy and we're being encouraged to be on lifelong prescriptions of expensive drugs like cholesterol-lowering drugs and statins, which have consistently been proven to be barely effective or only effective possibly at a couple of percentage points if you've already had a heart attack, and yet we are having them prescribed prophylactically for life for anyone, including now children. I mean, this... Once again, I put myself out on a limb here. This is medical manslaughter. We know this causes the statins shut down cholesterol, which means you're not detoxifying chemicals that you get in your food or from the environment. It makes people more violent. It makes their nerve connections not work well. A whole series of things that happen when we don't have cholesterol, which is in large part like animal fat based, in our bodies. We're just enriching, you know, the pharmaceutical industry, if you will, who in large part heavily influence the curriculum of the medical schools. And you have only to ask any doctor out there, well, how many hours of nutritional training did you actually get in med school? And if they got any at all, at the most, it's usually about 8 to 10 hours worth. They really don't know. I mean, they can't know what they don't know, what they haven't been taught. So we need to hold their spirit, if you will, or their intention to help people be healthy in our minds and encourage them to be better informed, to see the bias in what they've been taught.
The remarkable thing is how many, quote, diets there are out there, right? Paleo diets, caveman diets, and, people make a lot of money selling diet books on the latest fad, and this will work and this won't work. But the beautiful thing to me about Weston A. Price was the control group and observation. Yeah. Who was eating what, who was healthy, who wasn't. And surprise, surprise, the people that ate what we've always eaten as long as we've been humans were amazingly healthy. And the people that were eating invented food were not. Yeah. And he never found a vegetarian.
No. But there are some cultures, for example, the Jain in India, southern India, who are, close to vegan. Mm-hmm. But once again, as work in the 1920s by McCarrison pointed out, they're not all that healthy. They are short in stature. And from southern India, it's been inhabited an awfully long time, and I'm presuming there were fewer animals left in that environment for them to eat. So it's not to say necessarily that, ages ago when they developed that perspective, that religious belief about not eating animals, that it wasn't a response to there not being enough animals to eat, as opposed to being something that was actually based on making them healthy.
If I was a vegetarian and you were advising me, and the Swiss village, they didn't eat much meat.
Correct.
But they did milk. Mm-hmm. They did butter. They did cheese. And they did sourdough bread in considerable quantities. Would that be enough in of itself? Because while it's animal products, iron eggs you could do, nothing is actually being killed for you to eat. It's being kept alive to provide the food. Would that be enough, or would you need the liver?
Good point. It's not as though nothing was ever killed, Rodney. It's just that they were conserving with the animals. They would have had steers if they weren't necessarily doing much agriculture other than rye grains. So there would have been some form of meat, but just not a lot. And they certainly would have eaten the organ meats. Mm. All right. But their main form of fat-soluble vitamins was in the butter and the cheese that they made. That's where their A, D, E, and K2 came from. Completely grass-fed, ruminant, milk and fat. Mm. And yes, as he demonstrated, that is enough. Mm. But if you're going to go to a vegan level where there are no animal foods, you do run into problems. You especially run into problems with keeping your immune system primed and optimally reproducing.
Scary.
So, yes, lots of egg yolks. If you're not going to eat fish, lots of raw milk if you're a vegetarian, lots of butter. Yep, absolutely. You can pull that off. But I wouldn't want to try go back into, reproductive mode without having access to some form of liver, whether it's cod liver oil or beef liver or pork liver. Absolutely huge sources of readily available, necessary vitamin A for reproduction. And we can get into that a little bit more. I found a couple of fascinating things in the last couple months that as to why it's so important to prepare for conception if you really want to have beautiful, intelligent, healthy children.
I struggle with eating liver. It's very mm-hmm. strong to my taste, but I can swallow cod liver oil from a teaspoon, no trouble at all. And that's sufficient, right?
Yes. And once again, diversity is really important. I would encourage all of those people who have horrible, cringe memories of their mother or grandmother trying to force liver into them. I would suggest that they gird their loins, get fresh liver, slice it reasonably thickly, and cook up lots of onions and bacon beforehand. Set that in tallow or pork fat. Set that aside. Turn the heat up, and just barely cook that liver after putting salt and pepper on both sides. Cook it for maybe medium-high heat in fat for a minute on each side, and then take it off, put a lid on it, wait for 2 minutes. It should still be blood rare in the middle. Put lots of salt on it and lots of onions and bacon and try that, okay? Mm-hmm. It's gourmet. It's really great. Failing that, the extreme end of things is you can try disguising the taste of liver in a smoothie.
Yes, okay? I did that with my children for years.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to keep cubes of liver in the freezer. Is that okay?
Perfect.
And then throw them in the smoothie, and they never knew they were there.
Yeah. I have seen photos of, 6 to 9 month old, babies eating, gnawing, if you will, teething on frozen cubes of liver and just, smacking their lips. There's something, if we haven't been programmed out of our natural responses to food, our bodies will, move towards them. In effect, you will get that, give me more response.
Now,
and that's
important
to honor.
I know you made notes for vitamin mm-hmm. A. I'm wanting you to glance over them because here I am interrupting you. Is there things we haven't covered that we need to cover?
Great. Okay. I just want to stress one thing. A couple of things here. But the important thing to remember is that the true vitamin A, retinol, and the vitamin A hormone form in our bodies, retinoic acid, must be present for normal immune system function and for protein synthesis and for reproduction. Okay. Turns out that this lack of the hormone form of vitamin A, retinoic acid, characterizes most of our human autoimmune diseases. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Part of the problem is, once again, this whole cholesterol phobia, because most of the forms, animal forms of vitamin A, come from organ meats and fats that are high in cholesterol. Now, some people will say, well, that's okay. I'm getting my vitamin A from plants, from carrots, from orange and purple vegetables. It would be nice if that were the case, but it turns out that there are a lot of barriers or hurdles to us actually making that conversion from the beta carotene form to an actual vitamin A. And our bodies don't use actual beta carotene for very much compared to how much vitamin A we need and how little of that conversion from the plant-based beta carotene we're actually able to make to vitamin A. Now, infants can't make that conversion at all, probably till age 2 or 3 at all. None of it happens. That's probably why we have breast milk, right? To provide that vitamin A in the true form. Young children have difficulty making that conversion. Some adults apparently genetically have a difficulty making that conversion at all. I've heard about a third of the population have a genetic link to not being able to make that conversion. Plus, wait for it, we actually need animal-based cholesterol to make the bile salts that we have to have at the same time that we're digesting these beta-carotene sources like carrots or fruit. And we also have to have some form of animal fat in the same meal to make that conversion. So there's a lot, you know, we're pushing the proverbial uphill in order to get much conversion of beta carotene to actual vitamin A that we need at all. So yeah, fruits and vegetables, that's great. But you have to have those animal-based fat-soluble vitamins as well, okay? So what's vitamin A good for? We need it for optimal reproduction. This is so important. All of those initial stem cell differentiations, you know, stem cells are, you know, the initial cell that happens when the egg and the sperm get together before an embryo is formed. It's almost just like at the zygote stage. Those initial cell divisions are based on the presence of just a couple of stem cells that then get these signals to, okay, now, right, we're going to need to start growing different organs here, guys. So some of you are going to be heart, you stem cell differentiate into hearts or lung or organ tissues, okay? What makes that proper cell differentiation happen at the very beginning, within the first week to week and a half, is vitamin A. It's retinol. And that has to be in particularly the mothers, but it's really helpful if the father is well nourished as well. So even tiny lack at the very beginning is critical, because small deficiencies at those initial division stages escalate into organ malfunctions as adults.
Beer and chips ain't going to do it.
No, not unless, of course, those chips are organic potatoes that have been sprayed and they're fried in beef tallow. That
isn't
that
funny?
Endorse.
You can't find that anymore. You got to do it at home to get the beef. You can find it.
Oh, I definitely know where those places are in Hawke's Bay. And they do exist. And perversely enough, those ones who are cooking in beef tallow seem to have a propensity getting the, you know, best fish and chips in the bay kind of awards, where they have, well, the ones that are cooking in tallow very silently are not saying that they're cooking in tallow, because that's, you know, that's contrary to sort of industry standard, but they're the ones getting the awards for flavor.
And I recall reading about how they make those vegetable oils. It's a disgusting process.
It is, and it involves lots of disassociating of molecules, lots of use of chemicals like hexane, which are decidedly carcinogenic and never completely come out, and then they bleach them and deodorize them and add synthetic vitamin E so that they don't completely, you know, or to reduce oxidation, but they are highly, highly inflammatory. You really don't want to be eating them. They are not healthy. I mean, the likes of Dr. Mercola has said for a long, long time, the first thing you should do if you want to recover your health is stop eating those vegetable seed oils. That, unfortunately, doctors have been trained to tell us are heart healthy, and they're not. So, optimal reproduction, we need to start this early. All aspects of eyesight are require vitamin A. In all the different forms of vitamin A, they have names like retinol, retinoic acid. They're named after the retina in our eyes that we have to have vitamin A for that function, okay? So all of these children now wearing glasses from an early age, lack of vitamin A during pregnancy, the epidemic of dry eyes and ocular macular degeneration in the elderly, all of these can be improved with adequate natural animal source fat soluble vitamins. We need bone for bone remodeling, as they say. Take out the old, bring in the new bone of calcium and phosphorus. Those processes in our bones and in our teeth are absolutely regulated by vitamin A and D and K2. That's why Price found next to no cavities. Admittedly, they didn't have processed sugar either, but it was the strong teeth and enamel from adequate fat-soluble vitamins that created those healthy teeth. We have to have vitamin A for the transport and complete use of all vitamins, minerals, and food in general. If we don't have enough of it, we're simply not getting the full benefit of our food. And vitamin A is crucial in every form of hormone creation and signaling that I've been able to see. So adrenal hormones, sex hormones, thyroid hormones, cortical hormones for coping with stress, they can't be made without vitamin A. Helps to prevent diabetes. And another one I just recently came across was research documenting that vitamin A is crucial for the detoxification of environmental chemicals in the liver, what we call xenobiotics, things that really shouldn't be there. If we want to detoxify them adequately and not get things like cancer or inflammation, we need vitamin A. So I'm going to stop there, but there are dozens of others because vitamin A is basically a catalyst for almost all biological processes.
Would you mind then, Phyllis, if you've gone through your notes, sharing with us what your typical day's meals would be?
Okay. I just want to warn everyone that I'm the one holding down the far end of the vitamin A in your food spectrum. First when I get up or as I'm just sitting in bed reading, I will make sure that I have at least a liter of some form of hot drink. Usually it's ginger tea.
A liter? A liter?
A liter, that's right.
Wow. Is there a reason for that?
I try to consume at least 2 to 3 liters of something water-based a day. Mm. Then I will have a cheese sandwich, which is 2 thick slices of cheese with an even thicker slice of butter in between. Okay, so that's a high fat soluble vitamin hit right off the bat. And I try to stay in measurable ketosis at all the time. And I don't eat at this stage any form of grains. I eat vegetables and fruit, but my major emphasis is on eating saturated animal fat based foods.
So you said the bread that you eat isn't wheat based?
No. I don't eat bread. I don't eat grains of any sort.
Oh, so when you eat the butter and the cheese, it's just the butter and
the
cheese.
It's the butter and cheese.
So no carbohydrates really.
Correct.
No simple carbohydrates.
That's not for everybody. I'm doing it for specific, detoxification and hormone balancing reasons now. But I would say that what Weston A. Price found and what the foundation recommends is that if people properly prepare their grains and their seeds, and that means by soaking them overnight and doing some fermentation of them to actually make them available to our bodies. And we also know that if they're going to be available, they need to be with some form of animal fat like butter. Mm. But I don't want to put people off grains entirely, But I want to say it's really important that they be minimally sprayed, that they not be sprayed with chemicals like glyphosate pre-harvest, and that they be fermented and eaten with some kind of fat. Mm-hmm. So usually for lunch or a late breakfast, I will either have eggs and butter in some form. I'd have more bacon if I could consistently find a source of New Zealand grown outdoor organic bacon. But most of the bacon we have now, an awful lot of it comes from China, and that's I'm not interested
and
in
that's
that.
That's a disgusting set of government policies on our poor farmers.
Yeah.
They killed off our pig farmers to the favor of the Chinese farmers. It's disgusting.
Absolutely. I mean, we could have a tremendous tiered agricultural enterprises if we switched from our focus of making dried milk powder to export, because we're a long way from markets and you don't want to be transporting water. So we've shifted over the last 50 years to away from butter and towards infant formula-based milk powders. That's not a good idea, but I'm not going to go into why right now. We could be revisiting that whole original model of smaller farms focusing on cream production, and they took their cream into the local creamery, and then it was transported overseas, and they kept the raw, the low-fat milk, the skim milk, on farm and fed pigs, which fatten beautifully outdoors on skim milk, makes fantastic amounts of really valuable high vitamin D pork fat, which is a health product.
Health product.
That's my pitch for what you know.
And butter is a health product.
Revising things. Yeah. So the other thing I eat that you know, fasten your seatbelts. I do make smoothies with raw liver and four or five egg yolks and fruit and, you know, some greens, some herbs, liquid whey, coconut oil, cream, yogurt, or kefir that I make myself. And that's very, very sustaining. And for dinner, I will have some form of fat and vegetables and, you know, some form of meat or organ meat.
So you definitely are in ketosis.
Yes.
With that diet. Yeah. And you've measured yourself. And how long would you say have you been eating a ketogenic diet?
I've certainly been eating a Weston A. Price-oriented diet for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I've been eating a ketogenic diet for a little over a year and a half.
And so your body, this is the phrase, isn't it? Your body will be in ketosis.
Mm-hmm. So I will be burning
fat,
pretty exclusively fat. I mean, I eat fruit and vegetables. That's a form of carbohydrate. But most of my energy intake comes from fat. It's probably around 60% of what I use for fuel.
Well, listeners can't see you, but I can tell listeners that you're in rude good health.
Why, thank you.
So that's wonderful. And you've obviously got all your marbles.
I'd be the first one to acknowledge that they're declining, but I'm noticing that as I detox, as I stay with a ketogenic Weston A. Price-based diet, that I certainly feel more energetic, and I feel as though I'm have the ability to think more accurately and to take on and retain information better.
Isn't that something? The Weston A. Price Foundation, are they big on a ketogenic diet or?
No, not explicitly.
So.
They do encourage people to eat grains.
Yes.
And fruit and vegetables. However, they're also encourage people, you know, us to ferment a portion of particularly our vegetables so that we have the benefits that fermentation can provide in boosting vitamin content and mineral availability from fruit and vegetables, and very strong on making sure that grains are pre-soaked to remove the phytic acids and the enzyme inhibitors that are in all seeds and grains that don't do our bodies any good.
And of course, that's the significance of sourdough bread, properly fermented, versus bread you buy at the supermarket, which is shocking.
Yes, and with the caveat that most of the bread in the supermarket that's labeled, quote, sourdough, has not actually come from whole grains that are soaked and fermented and then made into bread over a process that can take 4, 5, or 6 days. So don't expect the same results from commercial sourdough bread. That's in quotes. You know, suggest people explore soaking and making their own bread. It's a completely different taste experience. And remember,
filling,
as you know, slabs of butter on top that leave teeth marks when you bite into it.
Yeah.
Because butter is, here in New Zealand, butter and to a certain extent liver and egg yolks are our most accessible form, concentrated form, of these super valuable essential fatty acids, particularly vitamin A. Liver has the highest concentration of vitamin A because it is so crucial in the detoxification processes that our liver needs to go through. We need it there all the time.
Have you got a thing against the egg whites?
Yes, but mostly it has to do with their nutritionally, they're mostly just protein. And I get plenty of protein. I'd much rather focus my limited ability to, you know, eat foods on getting the high concentrated value in the egg yolk. And I do eat that raw. These are all organic, grass-fed eggs from here in Hawke's Bay that, you know, I know people are going to go, oh my gosh, what about the, you know, the Campylobacter and the E. coli and et cetera, it says Salmonella. Those kinds of contaminations tend to happen in confinement and when animals are not being fed organic grains. So yes, there is these kinds of food are going to cost more initially. But like I said, being unhealthy, thinking inaccurately, not being happy, having children who are constantly sick, that's very costly, demoralizing, and inconvenient. I'd much rather make the investment in health insurance that's served at the table every day.
And it tastes great.
Absolutely. We're talking about pâtés and lobster thermidor and rich custards, things that we all really, you know, prize and have been a basis of indulgence in Western culture for millennia. Why not back to that?
One of my big things with Western A Price, and we'll have to do a session on this, was I got seriously into bone broths. And then I got seriously into French cooking. And Julia A. Child's 2-volume masterpiece became my Bible. And the beautiful to understand sauces, as she describes it, and the brilliance of the French chefs that characterized and systematized the making of those sauces, and to make a good sauce, hollandaise, brown sauce, but with the bone broth. Oh my goodness, that's a way to take a bone broth, isn't it? And you can take a very ordinary meal and make a lovely bone broth sauce, and it transforms it.
Absolutely. Think of bechamel sauce. For example, I mean, the French chefs, you know, perfected the art of putting as much butter as possible into a meal. Now, Rodney, if we just have a minute or two, I know people are going to say, oh, yeah, but my doctor told me I should not be eating, should limit my vitamin A consumption during pregnancy because it's toxic. It's just like, oh, spare me. There is no basis, actual scientific basis for that. And it does irreparable damage when you think of what the lack of vitamin A causes in children. We're talking about, you know, wall eyes. We're talking about heart weak abnormalities, kidney malformation, cleft palate, hair lip. Those kinds of things are decidedly associated with lack of vitamin A. And the vitamin A toxicity has been blown completely out of proportion, right? We know that, yes, if you're taking 1,000 or 100,000 vitamin A units of synthetic vitamin from a multivitamin as an adult for months on end, yeah, you can get dizziness and nausea and peeling skin and maybe vomiting. But as soon as you stop, all of those things vanish, all right? What you'd have to take to get 100,000 units of vitamin K from natural foods are 3 to 6 tablespoons of cod liver oil, 2 or 3 servings of beef liver, 3 kgs of butter, or 300 egg yolks. I mean, nobody's going to be eating that much, but we need much, much more, especially for pregnant women, than the 2,500 international units that's being recommended. We need closer to the, 50 to 70,000 units for pregnant women, and they need to be animal sourced.
There you go. That is the truth that Weston A. Price uncovered studying, well, we tend to say people eating a primitive diet, people eating a traditional diet, and that's how we ate for our entire history. And it's only in the last 100-odd years that our diet has completely changed. The other thing they observed was one generation's poor diet affected the next generation's development and the next generation's development. Yes. So we're witnessing the full horror of it down through the generations when you walk through a shopping mall.
Absolutely.
Including the behavior.
We're perfectly positioned here in New Zealand as, you know, a population to be much, much healthier than we are if we start consuming those sacred foods that Price demonstrated were key to all-round good health. We have access to butter. We have access to organ meat. We have access to egg yolks and seafood. We need to be reorienting our consumption as humans, as people, towards more of those actually healthy foods, and to be focusing on doing agriculture in a way that takes full advantage of our ability to grass feed everything. That, I think, is our salvation as a nation. We don't need to feed the world. We can't feed the world, but we can be truly, accurately, firmly based in producing, which we're not doing quite yet, the world's best animal-based foods that are high in those crucial fat-soluble activator vitamins.
That's the wonderful Phyllis Tichenin. Oh my goodness, a wealth of information. Some of it will be confronting to listeners, but sometimes we're about confronting people. And sometimes we have to be confronted and be confronted with the truth. And I think Weston A. Price did discover the truth of diet. When you read his book, it's magisterial what happened. Phyllis Tichenin will be joining us on a regular basis. We're so lucky to have her giving us her time. Phyllis, have a great rest of your day. It was wonderful what you share with us and wonderful to share your diet with us, because the sort of proof is in the pudding with you. You're on Reality Check Radio, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. And with Phyllis, oh my goodness, you get real talk. Give us a text, 2057, email us, inbox at realitycheck.radio. Thank you so much for listening. Ensure
my pleasure.
With us.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.